This is the Steve Cochran Show.
What I admire most about Hillary is that she never buckles under pressure. She never takes the easy way out. And Hillary Clinton has never quit on anything in her life. I'm with her.
Together with Hillary Clinton as our president, America, we will rise. God bless America. Let us rise together.
A woman who fights for children, for women, for health care, for human rights. A woman who fights for all of us. We're here today because our choice is Hillary Clinton. I'm with Hillary.
Any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Pretty good first night for the DNC after a very weird day. And still some heckling from the crowd. And of course, the mother in the room, the scolding in the room, doesn't come from the person you'd exactly expect. It comes from a comedian, Sarah Silverman. Hunter and I were talking too. Al Franken forgot how to be funny.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about with the DNC last night. Is Nick ready? We got Nick standing by? Well, let's go to somebody live in Philly who is smart enough not to go to the convention. That's my friend Nick Zetson. Good morning, Nick.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'll tell you. The Al Franken and Sarah Silverman moment, some people on Twitter were saying it rivaled the awkwardness of the Clint Eastwood chair. I don't know if it would go that far, but it was pretty weird.
I think the awkward moment for me was seeing a shot, it's up on television now, of Bill Clinton sitting next to Tony Preckwinkle for a few minutes. It was kind of odd. But I wanted to mention a young woman named Anastasia Somoza with cerebral palsy who spoke and brought out the one singular moment of all of the Trump moments that was the most hideous, that Democrats, Republicans, and everybody else agreed was so far over the line, it was insane, when Trump was mocking the New York Times reporter mocking his disability. Mm-hmm. He has a right to disagree with what the man said, but he's mocking his disability. And this kid comes out, I think she's in her early 30s.
Yeah.
This young woman comes out and did a speech that she powered through. I thought she was amazing. I thought maybe that was the moment of the night, but it got buried by a lot of other things.
You know, she was dynamic. And they say that if you look at, to the extent that Trump has become insulated from the things he does, the one thing that registered the highest spike of negativity from across, you know, both political parties was that one incident where he mocked the New York Times reporter. So I thought it was a devastating way to address that. And she just, I mean, take away what he did for a second. You couldn't help but watch her and not just be taken with her and her story and her passion. It was really an impressive moment.
Yeah, Sam, somebody that just goes out and maximizes their life. Well, too many of us sit around and whining and complaining about our circumstances. This kid goes out and maximizes her life. So she was very impressive. But I thought the DNC had a pretty good first night. In the middle of all the wacky background stuff and the insanity of the run-up, I thought they were off to a pretty good start.
But I got to tell you, I felt watching it, and tell me if you disagree, I felt watching it that they were sort of teetering on the edge, right? You know, you couldn't quite, even the Sarah Silverman moment, right, where she's like, Bernie, you know, Bernie or bus people, you're being ridiculous. There was a lot of negative energy in that ball.
It could have gone off the rails immediately.
Immediately, until the first lady showed up. And then, like, it was sort of like a drop the mic moment for her. I mean, she walked away, and that convention for the first night was made. I mean, There's just nothing more you could hope for from a keynote speaker. And I know she wasn't the keynote officially, but she hit it out of the park.
Yeah, she sure did.
She absolutely did. I actually, Nick, liked Bernie's speech as well, too. I mean, he started out a little bit slow, but I really thought he did well. Did the mood change inside the arena after Bernie spoke? Were the Bernie supporters more like, all right, we need to get on board now?
I don't know.
Quit the chanting?
Were you disappointed that they didn't flip the cameras around so you could see the crowd a little more? We didn't get the camera shot of the audience when Bernie was talking as much. Because even when Sarah Silverman said that, you didn't have a sense of really how much heckling was going on in the room.
Right.
So I got to tell you, I had a small team that was there, and they were texting me in real time. And while they said, without question, the energy and the enthusiasm for the first lady was palpable, they also said that when Bernie took the podium, it was unlike anything that had happened that night from an electricity standpoint. I mean, people were just crying and leaving it all. It's sort of like leaving it all on the field, right? People felt like this was their last shot to sort of stand with their guy. And you know, I think you saw it at the beginning of it. How many times, Steve, did he say thank you?
Well, he let that ovation roll.
He did.
I'm telling you, he let that 5 minutes bleed to seven or whatever it was and let it roll because he's loving every second of it. But there was a moment in his speech, which I think needs a little interpretation, when he said, and I look forward to your roll call vote tomorrow night, tonight being tomorrow night. He didn't say, let's all get behind Hillary. Let's all vote for Hillary. Let's roll call for Hillary tomorrow night. He basically said, don't forget to say Bernie when you when you're asked tomorrow night. Didn't he get a sense that was one of those moments?
Absolutely. That was it wasn't a vote your conscience moment, but it was a clear sign that he was not asking his people to lay down their swords helplessly. He wants to register a strong opposition vote, if not a hostile opposition vote. And he wants it on the record. He wants it on the record that he earned he mentioned the number of the 1,000, you know, plus committed delegates. And he wants to give his people that sense of satisfaction that they're able to do so.
We'll let you run on this, but Andrea is going to be in Philly the next couple of days, and it's a town you've come to know quite well. So I'm going to have you guys connect off the air because, as you know, Nick, and you and I have laughed about it here, every time national TV comes to Chicago, they have to do a pizza story. Every time national TV comes to Philly, they have to do the cheesesteak story. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd like to find a few things that aren't cheesesteaks and pizzas, so I wanted her to talk to you off the air about it. But in the meantime, always appreciate your time, and best of the family, and we'll connect again.
Yeah. Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right, hold on. Nick Zitzen from SAP, the world's largest software company. I think that's right. Aren't they bigger than everybody else?
They're the biggest. Oh, speaking of that, I know you're going to traffic, but how about the cloud guy who spoke? He was great.
I missed him.
Oh, he was really good.
Cloud guy as in tech cloud?
Basically created the cloud.
Oh, he made the cloud.
Yeah.
I always wondered who made the cloud. Is his name Cloud?
No.
Is it McCloud?
No, he was interesting, though. Good speaker.
I am Bob Cloud. I'm the guy that made the cloud. Do you know where your cloud is, Dave?
I don't really know where it is.
You know when you start a stuff in the cloud?
Yeah.
You ever look up and go, is that the one?
Hmm? I do. Yeah. I have done that,
sure,
yes.
Of course. It's 6:19. Mary's back. I hope your Monday went okay.
Everything's nice and clear.
All right, I have to ask you before you do the traffic. This accident on the Stevenson yesterday, I you know, all the traffic that you've covered through all the years, that's what happened. I don't understand how it happened. And then they find a minivan under the burned out wreckage.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't even there. You know, I was completely out of it yesterday. So
understandably.
Yes, I didn't really see this till yesterday late afternoon. And I go, when they said the Stevens has been closed for 6 hours,
right.
I went, what? And yeah, I did see the remains of that, and I don't get it how it happened either. I'm sure the investigation is going to be going on for quite some time.
Two tractor trailers of sorts, one carrying thousands of gallons of paint, somehow hit each other.
Yes.
And then the ensuing fire consumes this minivan that was trapped underneath. Both of them. And unbelievably, only one dead.
Yeah, and that's in between the busiest area on the Stevenson,
yeah, Cicero,
between,
right?
Cicero and Kedzie, and that's always Pulaski, sorry, and that's always the busiest area of the Stevenson to begin with, and that was, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, right near the midway. Oh, boy, I tell you.
All right, so
I'm glad I was comatose.
But it's open now.
Yes.
Oh, and
yes.
For people are wondering, Mary had a minor medical. She had a medical procedure yesterday. You should all have that rhymes with colonoscopy.
Yes.
What to see, what's out at the show, oh, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Kian's Cochran show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
6:25, Nick DiGiulio joins us now. I also want to say good morning to a texter who is from the 312, who's been texting this show since I came back in 2013. Text shows throughout the day and is quite angry, very, very angry. And I would just encourage you again, life's short. You know, it's a beautiful day. If you really, really hate this radio station, please listen to any of the others in town. I encourage you. As a matter of fact, if you need help resetting your dial, I'll come to your home and I'll reset it for you.
That's very giving.
After I choke the life out of you. Stop texting the shows.
Not giving.
Are they mad at you or just the other shows?
Yeah, they hate the whole day. No, they hate the whole day. Oh. Hates the whole day. Yeah. So I just don't know how you get up in the morning and go, you know, here's what I got to do. I got to pay the electric bill. I've got to get gas for the car. Got to pick up the dry cleaning. Oh, I've got to hate WGN all day. Turn it off, man. Turn it off. Go listen to something else. Nick DiGilio joins us now. How'd Star Trek do?
It did well. I guess my dad keeps texting.
Your dad is too good a guy. It would never be your dad.
Yeah, no, it's true. By the way, I always find it fascinating that people like that continue to listen. I find that amazing.
Yeah, it's just get a friggin' life.
Well, it's like that scene in Private Parts when they're talking about, they ask people why they listen to Howard Stern and how long they listen to him. The people that loved him listened for like an hour and a half. And the reason why is because they want to hear what he's going to say next. And then the next one is the people that hate him listen for 2.5 hours.
Right.
And they ask him why. And the reason is because they want to hear what he's going to say next.
Well, listen, you know this, and you welcome this. I welcome this. If somebody's got something negative to say about something I've said or we've said or we've done, well, that's great. But if you literally get up every day and part of your day is to send some hideous, profanity-filled nonsense to me, or to you, or to Roe, or to somebody else. Honestly, find some happiness in your life. Go
agreed.
And do something with your life.
Agreed.
Don't waste it on us.
Go see Star Trek Beyond. It's fun.
I'll give you $12. Go see the movie of your choice. all right, so Star Trek Beyond, you liked it.
I did very, very much. Surprisingly so. I went in with really low expectations, and I think it is by far the most entertaining of the new J.J. Abrams-produced reboots of the Star Trek series. I think this is the best one of the three. It's really a lot of fun, and my message to the people involved in making these movies is please, please, for the rest of these series that you're doing, allow Simon Pegg to write them, because that's the reason why this is so entertaining.
He's a funny dude.
He is a great dude and a very funny writer, and he loves and worships geeky things and genre things. I mean, the guy wrote Hot Fuzz, he wrote Shaun of the Dead, World's End, and he has a respect for that kind of stuff, and he totally has respect for Star Trek, and he made a really fun, very, you know, accurate Star Trek movie, the best of the new series. Very entertaining, action-packed, did okay at the box office, not great. But the big disaster this weekend was the Ice Age movie, the fifth Ice Age animated movie. The lowest grossing animated film so far this year as far as openings go, and the fifth in the series that continues to make less money with each release. So those are the big stories at the box office this week.
All right, a couple of things to plug, but before we do, a bunch of people were talking about the Bourne movie yesterday. When is the new Jason Bourne movie? Is that this weekend?
It comes out Friday, and it looks fabulous.
Right.
Matt Damon is back. This time they've got, the rest of the cast is back. They've added Tommy Lee Jones to the mix. Paul Greengrass, the director, is back directing this one. The trailer is phenomenal. The buzz on it is great. And, he said he was not going to come back to the Jason Bourne movies, which is why Jeremy Renner was the star of the last one. But he got a hold of this script. They convinced Paul Greengrass, the director, to come back and direct it. And I can't wait to see it. I mean, it looks, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks phenomenal. And those are good movies. Those Bourne movies, those are good, solid, great spy action movies. So
yeah, and if you are a girlfriend or a wife, please allow your husband or boyfriend this. When he stops on the Jason Bourne movie he's seen 27 times, it's because you have to, even if it's just to watch it for 5 minutes.
I agree. I'm with you, man.
All right, a couple of plugs. What's Flashback Weekend?
Flashback Weekend is the horror convention that comes to town every August. I've been a part of it since 2002 as one of the MCs and one of the hosts. And it's the week after next, August 5th through the 7th at the Crown Plaza at Chicago O'Hare. I'm there all weekend. I'm doing Q&As. I'm hosting. If you're a horror film fan, it's the best convention in the country as far as I'm concerned. There's going to be a Scream reunion. Nev Campbell's going to be there. Matthew Lillard, Skeet Ulrich. Malcolm McDowell from A Clockwork Orange is going to be there. Don Coscarelli, the director of Phantasm, the cast of Ash vs. Evil Dead. Lots of really great things are happening there. There's movie screenings, and Sven Gulli is going to be there on Saturday and Sunday. Sven Gulli, in fact, Rich, good old Rich Coase, is going to do a live version of his show on Sunday, and at the same time, interactive and show Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
That's a lot going on. Bad News Bears 40th anniversary screening with the original author Monday, August 8th at the Music Box. And you got RoboCop coming up.
RoboCop is Tuesday the 9th, and that's at the Movie Co. Theater. And the Bad News Bears 40th anniversary is me and Dan Epstein, the author of a terrific book called Stars and Stripes, which is about the 1976 baseball season. And it's hard for me to believe that Bad News Bears is 40 years old. But that just makes me feel like I'm 90.
No, you're not 90 yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. But yes, so lots of stuff going on that whole week, and that's the week I'm actually taking a vacation from work that week, so I can do five nights in a row of hosting and screenings and stuff. So,
all right. Well, listen, carb load. that's Nick DiGilio. It's 6:31. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, sponsored by Red Raymond Chevrolet. At the end of this year, Dave and Mary will pick a Kid of the Year. $5,000 will be given to that kid to go crazy. No, to put towards her education or really anything positive.
Mm-hmm. And Mary and I each keep 10%.
Is that your finder's fee for the Kid of the Year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Come on, it's a lot of work.
You give it to the kid.
They get no money and they like it.
It's a really hard decision.
And that'll be at the end of the year. So get your Kid of the Week nominations in. Again, if you don't know what a Kid of the Week is, it's any kid that makes you feel bad about your kids. It's a kid doing something that's special, a kid doing something that's good news. Because we all hear bad news about kids. We're looking for good news for kids. Could be a little thing, could be a big thing. But it's a big thing to that kid. It's maybe a big thing just in your house, right? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Go to WGNradio.com. Just throw Kid of the Week in the search bar there, and it'll take you to the page, and you can sign up. And tell us about a Kid of the Week. And by the way, don't assume we know where all the Kids of the Week are. It could be somebody you don't even know. You see a story online, you see a story somewhere, you go, that's a Kid of the Week. Steve ought to know about that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send that to Steve Cochran. And how would I do that? Well, Twitter, right? At Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Swing by the house, drop it off, whatever.
Text you.
Text me, yes. For those of you that know me well enough to have my cell phone number.
And if you go to WGNradio.com and just search Kid of the Week, it pops right up.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's good. All right.
Well, on most days it does.
Okay. Angelina's on the phone. Good morning, Angelina.
Hi.
What a pretty name. How are you?
Good.
You're 11 years old?
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but let me just tell you the things you do every day. The oldest of three kids in your family. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that you have two little brothers?
Yes.
What are their names?
One is Timothy and the other is Jackson.
How old are Timothy and Jackson?
Timothy is 9 years old and Jackson is 7.
Who's a bigger pain in the butt?
I don't know. They're all equal.
Oh, she sounds so weary. You have no idea how tough it is to be a big sister. All right, so here's some of the things that Angelina does every day, along with taking care of her little brothers. And you can imagine, Timothy and Jackson, a lot of work. So here's the deal. Angelina helps watch them. She plays basketball for her school in the summer league. She plays on the softball team. Her mom helps coach, too. Does your mom yell at you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, just checking. You also play in a school band?
Yes.
What do you play?
I play the flute.
Play a flute? I almost told you play a little piano.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, she's got a lot going on. You're going to day camp as well. Yeah, you got all A's on your report card.
Yes.
Okay. You're also an altar server at church.
Yes.
You read everything you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
What are you reading now?
I'm reading the third Harry Potter.
Yeah, I didn't. I got to some of the bigger words and I had to put it down.
Those are hard books to read.
So these are just some of the things going on in Angelina's life. She's a very sweet young girl, and she also takes care of the little, you know, her rotten little brothers. Well, I'm sure they're great kids. She's an athlete, she's a great student, and she's a musician. What are you going to be when you grow up?
Well, I would like to be a therapist, but my second option would be a baker to bake stuff with my friends.
How about if you, listen to this idea, you open up a bakery with a couch for therapy? Huh? So people could come in, they could have the pastry of their choice while they talk about their troubles.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Are you a good listener? Yeah. Do your friends come to you with their problems?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing. It's very important to be a good listener. Well, Angelina Woods, you sound like an amazing young lady, and I'd like to give you everything on the prize list. So let me see what I have here for you. Are you married?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's 11.
Yeah. Well, I just heard. All right. A big Tom Jones fan?
Yeah.
Come on, Angelina. Do you know who Tom Jones is?
No.
Oh,
okay. She's so cute.
How about we give you these tickets, though, for Tom Jones, October 3rd at the House of Blues and the House of Blues Restaurant and Bar. Your mom and dad can go.
Oh, yeah.
Your grandparents, okay?
Yeah.
That's from LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster. You like taking care of other people. I can tell that by the sound of your voice. You're happy to give something to your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Plus, as soon as they're out of the house, you're throwing a party. No parties. I'll tell you what I will do for you guys. I got a four-pack of passes to the EAA Air Venture Show in Oshkosh this weekend, through the week, actually. Best air show, period. Best air show. It's amazing. Canadian Forces, Snowbirds, Unique Aircraft, World's Largest Flying Boat, EAA.org/AirVenture. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
What kind of car are you driving?
I don't have a car.
Oh, you don't have a car?
She's 11.
Does your family have a car?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys an oil change at Cassidy Tire and Service Center. It's family owned and operated since 1914. 15 convenient locations. CassidyTire.com. But knowing Angelina, she probably knows how to change her own oil.
She probably does.
I'm going to give you MyPillow, MyPillow.com, Lou Malnati's Pizza. You like pizza?
Yeah.
LouMalnati's.com and an Apt gift card. So you can get some new headphones if you want them at ABT.com. And your mom gets a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Those prizes, Angelina, are worth over $100,000.
Wow.
Just don't lie to the kid of the week. Yeah,
that's not true.
Is that not right?
No.
Oh, I probably should do the math.
But they're great prizes.
He's not lying. He's just exaggerating, yeah. Angelina.
I'm adding wrong. Angelina, you sound like a great, great, great kid. Thanks for being our kid of the week. And tell Jackson and Timothy to give you a break. Texters, looking for the dumbest thing you've ever seen at work. This is in honor of Chris Sale cutting up everybody's uniforms this past weekend. Dumbest thing you've ever seen at work. We'll get to some of those texts coming up. And we are not allowed to play because there's only 4 hours in the show. Former Kid of the Week, Ross Cochran, joins us now. Hey, buddy.
Do former employees get to play the dumbest things I've ever seen at work?
No.
Holy cow, that'd be a long list for me.
No. Oh, of course, you're speaking to your time at Pearl Mortgage?
No. Pearl Mortgage is great. Everything is fine because David's probably listening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. How are things at Pearl Mortgage? People ask, oh, how's Ross doing? And I go, I don't know. I never hear from him.
Things are really, really good. It is amazing to learn a new thing, to be able to have a normal job. And the hour of the day that I wake up, my first thought isn't cursing about the hour of the day that I wake up.
Right.
So that's nice, too.
Once you stop worrying about whether or not your father made it safely to work, is that when you start worrying about your own stuff?
Yep, exactly.
All right, enough about you. Most importantly, how is the world's greatest grandchild, my first grandchild, Abigail Grace?
Abigail is great. I realized yesterday that she's kind of she's the anti-news cycle.
What do you mean?
So I don't know if listeners are able to at some way obtain a baby, but like, you know, with all the stuff that like,
so we had this talk when you were like 7 or 8 years old, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, with all the stuff that like Trump says, with, you know, the fact that like the Democrats, all they had to do was not get out in their own way and they were all chanting lock her up. My daughter yesterday laughed at a ceiling fan.
Yeah, see, that's a good time. That's a good time. When there's nothing but troubles in the world, that's a good time.
It sounds better than Bernie's speech right there.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
We marvel at this. We marvel at this all the time. And Ross's lovely and talented wife, Lauren, and Ross have said the same thing. You just sit around and you look at this kid for hours. And frankly, if you break it down, she ain't doing that much. You know what I mean?
No.
She's ridiculously cute. She giggles at a ceiling fan. She drools like a champ. She may go to Rio for drooling.
She stood on the edge of that couch like a champion.
Yeah.
We saw that picture,
the couch
Ross.
Walker picture. Yeah, it's tremendous. But it's really a fascinating thing. And again, I've said it before. I'll say it again. All the other grandkids should quit. You really should get out now. You got no shot in this competition. So, all right, at 6:55, you have sort of intimated to me that I'm an idiot when it comes, well, to many things, but when it comes to Pokemon Go.
Yeah, so you know when like you're at a restaurant and you hear someone talking and you realize that like they just don't know what they're talking about and you feel bad for them?
Right, but you don't know them,
like,
so you're not going
to chime
in. I
get to experience that every morning listening to your show and listening to you talk to Chicago and call them Pookie Monsters. No one calls them Pookie Monsters.
That's not what they're called? Well, aren't you? What are they, Pokemons?
They're just Pokemon. Oh, hey, what about, are you Pokemon? Yeah, Pokemon Go. Yeah, I saw 45 people playing it on the train yesterday.
Oh, okay? you haven't downloaded this, have you?
No.
Son?
I have not.
Son?
I really have not. All but right. I think for my own sake, no. For Abigail's sake, you need to demand that Benedict Cumberbatch only work on Pokemon Go for the show so he can explain it to you so that I don't have to be embarrassed by you when you talk about it.
Should I make Bennett vice president of Pokemon Go?
You absolutely should make Bennett vice president.
You said it right.
Yeah,
there
vice president
go.
Of Pokemon Go. So again, they're not Pokemon.
They're not Pokemon monsters.
Okay.
They're not
scary.
And they're not Pokemon.
There's not good ones and bad ones, Andrea. You're complicit in this, too.
I know, Ross. I knew it was coming. Just
and
ahead,
I
use just
I, the, my struggle is, you know, like, Pops, you hung out with Prince. Like, you're cool.
Well, maybe I was cool in the 90s.
And you are high socks and some sandals away from being that old guy. So I need you.
So I got to get my act together. What you're saying is knock it off.
Yeah.
But exactly. What is the plural of Pokemon? Zuh.
Pokemon.
Well, it sounds like it sounds like it's Pokemon. Pokemon's plural is Pokemon.
Yeah.
So it's like deer.
Like,
a number
like moose.
Of moose. A number of moose.
Yeah.
Deer.
It's like sheep.
Yeah. Moose. Ooh, pokey sheep.
Oh, no.
Oh, pokey sheep would be good. All right, we'll get back to you on that. All right, so but is this thing over? Because Nintendo's valuation went down yesterday.
No, it's not over. I mean, think about it. Like, we had... That came out when I was like, what, like 8, 9, 10?
I don't know. I just know I spent money on it.
Thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah.
It was around, it's been around since. Like, it's obviously faded quite a bit as the craze that it used to be, but it is just getting started because now you're going to have all of these different games, all these different augmented reality games, and Pokemon is just going to be a part of this new world for apps and for games. So no, it's not going anywhere. I think really, unless everyone's dad starts talking about Pokemon Go the way that my dad has, it's going to be around for a long time.
But Ross, what do you think about when school starts? Don't you think this is going to be a huge problem when school starts?
I think the hip teachers, and she was talking to Ross, wasn't she?
Yes.
The hip teachers are going to try to build this into the...
Why would anything change now?
Yeah, seriously, would interrupt you. That's what I do. That's my move. What about when school starts? I wish somebody would have brought up that question.
No, I don't. I think it's going to be something that kids play in recess, and I think it's going to be something that kids play before and after school. I mean, like, my brother-in-law is really into this, and he was saying that they're developing a watch that you can wear where essentially the watch is connected to the augmented reality that the Pokemon are in throughout your day. So you can just have this watch that'll just buzz at you when it's like, hey, you should really open up your app now.
The end of times.
There's Pokemon nearby.
Before we let you go, this is no return on investment. What I need is a Poke Beanie Babies, where it can take only 12,000 Beanie Babies that I still have at my house and somehow find a way to monetize those.
Beanie Baby Go. I think it'll be the next thing. We'll work on it.
All right. Please hug your wife and your daughter and yourself, because I can't reach you from here.
Bye,
love you, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Ross. Love you.
Bye, guys. Good to see all you. Love you.
Thanks.
Find a bin for those, because you know what? You're never going to sell those.
The
your Beanie Babies.
Yeah, they are in a bin.
Well, I still have mine, too.
I don't have them set up around the house. Remember they were going to be valuable forever, Mayor?
They will be soon.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to happen again. I know it.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I trust Hillary to lead this country because I've seen her lifelong devotion to our nation's children. Not just her own daughter, who she has raised to perfection, but every child who needs a champion. Kids who take the long way to school to avoid the gangs. Kids who wonder how they'll ever afford college. Kids whose parents don't speak a word of English but dream of a better life. Kids who look to us to determine who and what they can be.
712 texters continue to tell us the dumbest thing you've seen at work. Oh, of course, it's Michelle Obama, who hit a home run last night. And we'll continue talking about Philadelphia in just a second. A couple of texters. Steve, I've been listening since day one when you came back. Was very happy to find a morning show to enjoy after we lost Don Wade. I remember when Don passed away, a lot of the Don and Roma folks came over here and were obviously welcomed them. But now you're far left.
Oh, no.
But now your far left leanings have gotten too despicable to ignore.
Okay. Are you going to?
I must be ignoring them as well.
No, you're not left.
The only things I now like about WGN are Tom Skilling and Nick's jokey, jokey, jokey time. But it was fun while it lasted. Okay.
Is this part of the crazy things you've seen at work text? Or
I just, you know, I get called left. I get called right. I haven't got called far left. I've been called far right. Steve, I hate to break it to you. This is a different texter. Steve, I hate to break it to you, but they've only released 130 Pokemon on Pokemon Go. There are currently over 700 Pokemon in existence. Good God, this is worse than the Zika virus. And there are more than 100 more on the way this November. Pokemon Go's not going anywhere.
You didn't know that? So, 700 Pokemon?
I did not know that.
Noticed I used it correctly.
Yeah, congratulations to you. All the other kids. Bridget Gaynor, Cook County Commissioner, and a Hillary delegate. I assume you are live in Philadelphia this morning.
I am. Good morning.
I thought it was a pretty good start, pretty good first day for the DNC after it could have gone off the rails pretty easily.
You know, it was great. In the hall, there was a ton of energy, obviously a lot of Bernie people, but it was pretty positive. And I thought the speeches last night, both Warren and Michelle, were amazing. Cory Booker was great, too.
Somebody said that Elizabeth Warren was being heckled. You didn't hear it on TV. Was she being heckled in the room?
You know, there was a couple, like all speeches, I mean, there was a couple lines where people really started chanting. I think when she started getting close to, not admonishing, but moving people to say, okay, you know, we've had our moment, we've had our primary, now it's time to all get on the same page. There might have been some pushback then, but she was pretty well received.
And was there a "we trusted you" thing or something that was being yelled out? Was that it?
You know, it was hard to tell because you're in an auditorium. I mean, you know, you're in tens of thousands of people, and some people are yelling one thing and some people are yelling the others.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, look, there, you know, as Bernie said last night, there was about 8,000 Bernie delegates, and some of them were pretty rowdy, but there was a lot of them who were really young. I mean, you had some really young people there who were kind of coming. Was it a street protest? Was it a convention? Who knows? But, you know, that's why we're the Democratic Party. You know, it's not always the most organized group of people, but that's okay.
Yeah, and you mentioned the speeches. Everybody seems to be in agreement that Michelle Obama was a home run. You know, Bernie Sanders, I think, went as far as he probably would go in regards to his full-throated support for Hillary last night. But then there were some other folks that sort of surprised. I don't think anybody knew Cory Booker could be that effective, and he certainly did himself proud, I thought.
I mean, look, he is a great speaker. I've heard him once before, and people really listened to him, which was good. His speech was kind of long, but it was very, very well. I mean, he has a cadence to him that's easy to listen to. And you're right, Michelle completely nailed it because it was so from the heart. And everyone knows that they've had their back and forth with the Clintons over the years. But she was so sincere. And when she talked about her daughters and the type of leader she wants them to grow up with, it was incredibly resonant. And I thought it was great. You know, I thought Bernie would have been a little warmer as far as Hillary goes. Like, he was no Ted Cruz. But, you know, I think that was probably the one speech of the night where you could have seen a little bit more of a full-throated endorsement. But you're right. Maybe that's as far as he thought he could go.
Bridget, Tony Preckwinkle, your boss essentially, was sitting next to President Clinton at one point, and we learned throughout the evening that the Hillary delegates were sitting on either side of Bill Clinton, but they were rotating in during different portions of the speech. Because every time the cameras flashed, we saw Tony Preckwinkle for a little bit, and then someone who looked like Robin Wright. And
well,
then,
musical chairs, like when the music stops, somebody moves.
How do they pick?
I don't know, but you know, so I have four sisters, all of whom are political junkies like me. So throughout the entire evening, I'm getting texts of various things that are happening. You know, what's going on at the time? What's going on? And then she literally said, "Oh my God, Frank Underwood's wife is now sitting next to
Wright."
You know.
I thought it was Robin Wright sitting next to him at one point. Was it her?
I don't know if it was her, but I couldn't see. I mean, you can't see that, but I got it from both, you know, my sister in Miami and my sister in Chicago. So who knows? You know, maybe. So it must be people who are helping with the campaign, and, you know, he's a charming guy who I would sit next to him, you know.
He's going to speak tonight. President Clinton will speak tonight.
Yeah. And, he's going to do great, obviously.
Yeah, you can expect that for sure. Thanks, Bridget. Have a safe trip back. Bridget Gaynor, Cook County Commissioner and a Hillary delegate. Sorry about the phone line, but sometimes that happens in road hotels.
Yes, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
At 7:18, we'll come back, read you some of the texts from the dumbest things you've seen at work. Have you seen anything quite as dumb as cutting up everybody's jerseys? Chris Sale's little move for the White Sox this weekend. Let's get to traffic. Mary's back after her good times yesterday at the colonoscopy place.
Yeah. You know, my doctor alone did 12 colonoscopies before noon. Can you believe that?
You know,
what a fun job that is.
You know, he does more colonoscopies by noon than most others do all day.
So, I was number one, though, so I felt good about
that. Well, I'm glad you finally did it, lady.
I did.
A little overdue.
I know. I listened to Dave Bennett. So, yep.
Dave gets it every 2 weeks.
not that.
Oh, that's not true. It's like an oil change every 3,000 miles.
Exactly. I'll tell you one thing. I'm never drinking Crystal Light lemonade again because I added that to the stuff to get rid of the taste.
That'll ruin it for you.
I'm like, blah. Anyway.
Yeah, and everybody knows the same thing. Everybody knows the same thing about this particular medical procedure. It isn't the procedure. It's the day before the procedure. Survive the day before and you'll act. You wake up and you go, what happened?
Yeah.
You don't even know what happened.
All
the tests came back
easy. Oh, yeah, it was great. I just want to talk to Doc Most about changing that prep thing. Come on, do something about it, people.
Yeah,
researchers, figure it out.
They're going to have an app out soon.
That'll work.
What? What an idiot.
724 text question of the day is dumbest thing you've seen at work. This is in honor of Chris Sale cutting up the laundry and the non-apology. I got to tell you, Dave, the more I hear from that Chris Sale quotes from that interview yesterday, sounds like a guy that wants to be traded.
Well, one of the first things he said was that he didn't, sort of.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not buying it. So, but I got to be careful because, you know, I could come to work and my Dockers could be shredded. And, you know, Dockers is my designer, as you know.
But that was such a passive-aggressive apology. When he, quote-unquote, apologized, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry to the fans because you didn't get to see me play." Okay, that doesn't really...
Well, and he said he was sorry to his teammates for not being there.
Mm-hmm. I just think, like, let's say Bill Leff comes into work today.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks all of us to remove our clothes, and then he cuts them to shreds. That wouldn't be a great thing to do to the people that work here.
It really wouldn't, but would you remove your clothes if Bill Leff asked you to?
Okay, not a great analogy.
Okay, well.
I was going to say.
Stupid things you've seen at work. Text or true story. I had a difficult employee at a local hospital who would occasionally manipulate her blood pressure and other medications so she could take time off from work.
What?
That's...
The side effects of such action included her removing clothing and walking around the halls naked on her night shift, barely clothed and yelling, "I got to get on the rainbow train."
Okay. I think I'd say go home too.
Eventually she was encouraged to get into a different position.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Literally or?
Probably both. You know, I had a woman who did a newscast or two for me, like in my second job in life. Uh-huh. This is in Charleston, South Carolina. And she was not a great employee. I wasn't her boss. I was 22 years old. And she suddenly started getting flowers at work, like all the time.
Oh.
Flowers every couple of days. So, wow, another more flowers from listeners. Well, one day the flowers showed up a little late, and I took a look at the card. She was sending herself flowers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
To show how important she was to the listeners, because right. She had a sense she was being fired.
It's a lot of money to
spend. Yeah, well, I can tell you, yeah, especially in Charleston, South Carolina at that point. Texter in the 630, I'm in heating and air conditioning. I hired a 20-year-old. On his first day of work, he wore flip-flops. Not exactly the shoe wear of choice for an HVAC guy. 773, guy got in trouble for being late, so he did what anybody would do. He went to the third floor balcony and he peed over the side.
Okay, that's gross.
This one's bizarre. Texter in the 815, work for a dentist who would have temper tantrums. He'd lock himself in his office in the dark and then slide us notes under the door until he calmed down. Sounds like a sitcom. A dentist with temper tantrums.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
You want that guy giving you a rookie?
Sounds like Little Shop of Horrors.
773, a coworker asked to borrow my scissors. When I walked past her desk a few minutes later, she was using my scissors to cut her toenails.
Oh.
I knew a guy who used to cut his toenails on the radio, on the board. He was a news
on the board.
Guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he would just plop so him up gross. On there right
the
before.
The board is the technical equipment we all have to handle.
Yes, and he'd plop his foot in sandals. He wore sandals.
Oh, that's great.
It was nice.
Name him. Who was it?
I won't say. He actually was a friend of mine, but man, that was disgusting.
847, in the late 70s on a construction site in the Burbs, one of our brown coat mixers' head sprung a leak on the side. This is basically a 55-gallon drum set on its side with a hole cut in the top and blades running on the inside with about a 20-horsepower motor. Our laborer had put a pail below to catch the outflow, wasn't keeping ahead of the problem. An electrician's foreman asked if you ever heard about the kid in Holland who saved the country from a leak in the dike. When he asked how, he showed our laborer, who stuck his hand inside of this mechanical piece of equipment. Oh, it took us 45 minutes to find his finger.
Oh.
And finally tonight, guy gets out of his truck without putting it in park. The truck kept driving across the lot and smashed into the boss's company car.
Oh,
just a handful of stupid things you've seen at work. 728, and keep them coming at 312-981-7200.
Don't,
texters.
Don't say handful.
Not in that case. Yeah, right? 312-981-7200, texters. Back after this with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
When someone is cruel or acts like a bully, you don't stoop to their level. No, our motto is... when they go low, we go high.
Why did Hillary get rid of her middle name? Huh? Hillary? No, but why did she get rid of it? Hillary Rotten Clinton. Rotten Clinton. Hillary Rotten Clinton, right? Maybe that's why. It's too close. No, it's too close. It's too close. You think Mike Pence would say this? I don't think so.
I don't even know. There's 10-year-olds that hear Donald Trump and go, wow, that guy's got to grow up.
I was just going to say, don't you think sometimes it sounds like maybe a 7th or 8th grade boys' locker room?
Everybody thinks of stupid things. Lord knows I do daily, 6 to 10 a.m. But when you think of stupid things, you have to have that chip in your head that keeps you from saying them. He doesn't have the chip.
No, I agree.
Hillary Rotten Clinton. That's brilliant, really. And once again, I would like to tell, I can tell Eric Edelstein this is about to join us. If you're a politician and you feel the need to be funny, lay down until that urge passes and then get up again. I don't think Mike Pence, hey, ain't getting this up and down the dial. I don't think Mike Pence is saying this. That's your vice president, dope. Ugh, unbelievable. 742, the Republican convention last week had its moments, didn't it, kids? And the Democrats were about to implode yesterday. Just the entire thing was about to cave in upon itself. And last night, they somehow seemed to get it right for showtime. And the speeches went really quite well, in balance quite well. The whole thing is way too long. The whole thing is tedious. You know, I saw some of the guys on, I think it was MSNBC, it may have been CNN, criticizing the fact that later in the night, well, the Elizabeth Warren speech didn't pop. Well, she's on at 10:30 at night. It's like going to a comedy club and seeing 47 comics.
Right.
You're going to save it for the end?
And they're all big names, too.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren apparently got heckled a little bit. Like, she's not my favorite person, but she was fine. Bernie was fine. But Anastasia Somoza, the young woman with CP, and Michelle Obama, the stories of the night, as far as I'm concerned.
Killed it.
Let's go to Eric Edelstein, who's in Philadelphia now. Unless you've evacuated, did you stay in Philly?
I did stay in Philly, but Andrea, you'll be glad to know you weren't here because they did evacuate the press tent.
Oh, they did? Oh, because the water?
For the political reasons, but it was raining sideways for a while. And so the press were fleeing for their lives. And, that was interesting.
Did anyone mention that maybe God's a Republican, which is why it was raining so hard on the press tent there?
Well, I saw some online chatter where people were saying the DNC will go to any extreme to keep those Bernie protesters from having an easy time. But all in all, I agree with you, Steve. I think the first hour was white knuckling and looked like things could get really ugly. But I think they pulled it back, and Michelle Obama was and still is the talk of the morning. I think she was just tremendous, poised, great storyteller, and I think a really emotional moment for Democrats.
And to any man who's willing to admit this is a man, and that is what shuts a man down faster than anything, and that's a well-balanced argument from a woman. Mm-hmm. And she didn't mention Trump's name, not a single time. She referenced the foolishness of Trump and just laid him out.
Well, and the brilliance of it is doing it in that sense of talking to your children about the absurdity of him. I mean, that's sort of the great, if you will, jujitsu is I'm just saying when my children say, why is that man so outrageous? Is we say we're bigger than that. We're more mature than that. We ignore that. Because that's who we are as people. I thought it was a brilliant takedown.
Yeah, when they go low, we go high.
Steve, did you see the line? Somebody online was saying, well, what about these, you know, Bernie's telling his supporters to calm down. And someone said, well, that's like giving the kids Mountain Dew after dinner and then saying, go to sleep. It's not going to happen.
What was going on in the room when Sarah Silverman said the Bernie people, Bernie or bus
people? You're being ridiculous.
Were they heckling her? What was going on?
You know, throughout the evening, they just continued this Bernie chant. And every time Hillary's name came up, they would chant Bernie's name as sort of like it was call and response. And,
right. You
know, she was as big a Bernie supporter as there was. And it was just, and I'm told it was unscripted, and it seems like it was. She just sort of came back to the mic and said, you know, all you Bernie or die people or whatever she said, you're being ridiculous.
Right.
And, you know, I think people got more respectful as the night went on. And look, I think I've been at two Illinois delegation breakfasts, 50% of them almost are Sanders delegates, and everyone seems to be getting along pretty well. So, you know, last night was Sanders night. Obviously, it's disappointing when you lose. Then you add in this DNC email BS, and, you know, people then have a legitimate gripe that somehow it was taken. But I thought Sanders did a good job of maybe putting the genie back in the bottle a little bit.
But what was the moment where he said, I'm looking forward to your roll call vote tonight?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a poke in the eye, I thought. I mean, I guess the delegates, they'll do the roll call of the states and they'll report out. And, you know, it's a sign of respect that when they get to the roll calls, his votes will report out. I mean, he has no chance of being the nominee, but I guess they want to do it. And then hopefully he'll do what Hillary did in 2008 is then, you know, call for it to be unanimous and all that. But we'll see what happens.
I called that, Eric, his Ted Cruz moment, but not really, because he at the very end, he did finish up by he got what he wanted in, didn't mention Wasserman Schultz, and then
do we know that Bernie's father didn't have lunch with Lee Harvey Oswald? Do we know?
I can't confirm that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying.
Right. I'm just re-reporting what I've heard in other places.
Oh, that's right.
And the other speech that sort of surprised me, but in a good way, was Cory Booker. I didn't know Cory Booker could throw down like that in a speech. I thought he was pretty strong.
Yeah, he was very strong, you know, maybe a little hot for too long, but I thought overall, I'm just nitpicking, I thought he did a terrific job. Like you said, it was a lot of star power try to pack it into that last hour and a half, but they managed to get it done. The other highlight, which Senator Durbin had a party last night, I'll just share with you, and Joe Walsh played, not the former congressman, but the former Eagle.
Yeah.
And he had that. He had, and I, you know, I'm not a huge Eagles fan, but I got to tell you, he had that guitar going last night, Steve. You would have loved it.
Oh, I would have loved it. And Joe Walsh could not be a nicer guy. Joe Walsh and Kevin Matthews are really good friends. And Joe,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, and Joe would hang around the Loop whenever he was in town. And that was in the bad old days. Got to know him a little bit, but couldn't be a better guy. And
well, he
straightened out his life
last night.
Yeah. The Eagles doc. Even if you're not an Eagles fan, the Eagles documentary on Showtime for most of the last 3 years. Yeah. Watch it; it's tremendous.
And the music's much better at the DNC too. I have to say,
well, there is that.
As opposed to the house band Demi Lovato, yeah. Awesome. And I thought Paul Simon sounded great. Bridge Over Troubled Water.
He doesn't have to hit all the notes anymore. He's 74.
It's Paul Simon.
Yeah.
He was great.
If he hits half the notes, those are good polling numbers. Am I right or am I right?
Somebody else had the line that after listening to the First Lady last night, no wonder Melania stole her speech. We all know how good she is.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good line. Pretty good.
All right, before I let you go, can you explain to me why, and trust me, I've not changed my feelings. If you're the president of the United States and you're having sex with an intern in the Oval Office, you need to lose your job. I thought that in 1997. I think it now. But having said that, Bill Clinton is the best politician I've ever seen. He's the best speechmaker I've ever seen. He's better than Obama. He's better than anybody I've ever seen do it. He's a tremendous campaigner. He gets every nuance. He may have been the smartest guy to ever be in the Oval Office, regardless of how much he may have blown up his own presidency. Why did Democrats not showcase him more? Is he impossible to work with? Because you know the man, I don't.
Well, you know, as the years have gone by, and, you know, he's a former president, so he's not the kind of person you manage. And I think there's been times where he can speak on and on and on, and despite being given a speaking slot and an amount of time, it kind of runs on. And you know how these conventions go. You want it very scripted, so you're hitting all your time marks. I think even in 2012, when he gave a terrific speech in defense of Obama, in some ways better than Obama's own defense of himself,
right?
It still ran really long. And I think it worked out because it was so powerful. But overall, I think, you know, there's just concern that sometimes he goes off the rails a little bit. But I agree with you. He's got tremendous star power. He's an incredible advocate. He can take complicated information and pare it down and,
yep,
and talk to you about it in a way that makes sense and is very powerful. I think he'll be a big advocate, and I think he'll give a great speech tonight.
I saw him speak right before the primary at one of the black churches when he was on the South Side, but right before the primary. Oh, it just unbelievably, it still gives just a powerful speech.
Yeah, I mean, if he was, he was put on this earth not to chase skirts, but to make speeches, and he did a fine job of it. I don't know. I just think, you know, I think Gore missed the boat back in the day, and I think every Democrat that runs in the opposite direction from Clinton is probably hurting themselves and helping Republicans in the process.
No, I agree. I mean, you go back to 2000 when Al Gore lost Tennessee and Arkansas, and the Gore campaign decided not to have Bill Clinton, the president of the United States, go out and campaign in that last week. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, because if you remember right, the weirdest thing about the whole Clinton-Lewinsky thing was women were defending Clinton. Men wanted him thrown out. And then by the time 99-2000 come around, Clinton's poll numbers started to go up, 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 partly because Newt Gingrich was such a jerk. But the poll numbers for Clinton started to go up. And when Gore went in the other direction, I mean, that swung the election.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Eric, you're in there one more day, aren't you?
I am. I can talk to you guys tomorrow morning.
I would love that. Hold the line if you would, please. Eric Edelstein. He's great. AL Media.
He's excellent.
Yeah. Named by Cranes to be one of the most influential people in politics.
Oh, we didn't ask him if Robin Wright was sitting next to Bill Clinton. We still have to find that out.
The blonde woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't Robin Wright.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. Yeah, okay. Robin Wright was with me. Steve Cochran Show continues. Texters continue to send in their stupid things they've seen at work text. We'll get some more of those next hour. Tomorrow on the show, I can already tell you what tomorrow's text question is going to be, unless there's something that breaks overnight. Trends for kids that drive me nuts.
Trends for kids
that drive me nuts. Things happening now for kids that drive me nuts.
Okay.
Trends for kids. When the goodie bags at birthday parties thing started, drove me nuts.
Oh, you didn't like that? The treat bag?
No. It's the parties for the kid. The kid had a birthday. Every kid gets a birthday. It's a kid's birthday. It's his or her day.
We get something to take home.
Oh, yeah. I got to have that. Can't just go to the party. Yeah. But tomorrow, sleep unders.
Now, what is that?
Talk about it tomorrow. It's not a sleepover. It's a sleep under.
I never liked sleepovers that much as a kid.
Apparently, the sleep under kids don't either.
I don't know what that is.
So you go and sleep during the day at the house and then you go home?
Why would you try to get this information out of me?
Well, because I can't wait till tomorrow, Steve.
Thank God you have a computer that Googles.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep unders.
Sleep unders.
Tomorrow.
Sleep in your underwear? What?
No. Well, that's up to you. Yeah. Also tomorrow, Dan Ponce.
Anthony Ponce.
Oh, it's which one is it?
Anthony Ponce.
Tito Ponce. Oh,
yes.
Tomorrow.
Dan's brother.
Is it Donnie or Maria Ponce?
Anthony.
Anthony Ponce
yeah.
on the show tomorrow. Anthony quit Channel 5 a couple of weeks ago. Because he is going to be a Lyft driver, LYFT, which is the competitor to Uber.
Yes.
And he's making a documentary about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's I think it's an audio. People are going to tell audio. Well, he'll tell it. He'll tell what they're going to do. But passengers are going to tell real life stories.
And Marco Rubio, Senator Marco Rubio, tomorrow on the show as well. So, because you know me, far left loony that I am.
And now I know what a sleep under is.
Okay, congratulations there, Captain Google. I want to thank the Apt Electronics folks for another amazing Four Autistic Kids Foundation golf outing yesterday. And I want to thank Jimmy DeCastro, the most generous guy I know, who hosted us. And Mr. DeCastro, I've never called him that in his life. Mr. DeCastro and I and a couple of our sales executives, Brian Watercott and Dan Richman.
Dan was colorfully dressed, I heard.
Dan was brightly yellow.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was for the safety of the other golfers.
Of course.
But we had a good time, played pretty well. And Four Autistic Kids Foundation made a bunch of money, which is nice. And all our best to Billy and the whole Apt family. And Willie Apt, who's the inspiration for the whole thing.
That's very cool.
So it's a good thing. For my brother, who dealt with undiagnosed autism as a kid because they didn't have it then. And my hero in life, Mickey. Mm-hmm. You know, Willie is certainly the Apt family hero. It's a great thing. So it's a really nice thing. And man, did they pack them in yesterday. Just a great, great turnout, which is a testament to the Apt family, too, about how people feel about them.
And it's you guys great. Played well?
Yeah, we played okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little
bit you of guys being Steve.
Well, of course. It's Steve and Jimmy.
Actually, yes. Jimmy and I both played. I think Jimmy had 81, maybe. I shot 78, something like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you beat the boss?
Oh, I don't take a dive.
Oh.
I just called yesterday Stopping the Bleeding, which has been going on for all of 2016 for me.
When you guys are playing in an outing like this together, do you bet money?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I should also say I had a Christian, our caddy, fine young man, and a teacher himself, works with special ed kids. And Christian didn't quite know what to make of Jimmy DeCastro and then became his best friend.
Yeah.
That's just the way it always works. Just at 8 o'clock, do you avoid the mailbox every fall because you know the annual maintenance fee for your timeshare is on the way? Or have you ever looked to see what timeshares your resort are selling for online? Sure you have, because you need to get out. You want to get out. You don't know how to get out? I do. Timeshare Exit Team. Timeshare Exit Team is an organization that's got folks right here in Chicago. They'll sit down with you, they'll look at your contract, and they'll figure it out. It's an impossible contract to break without Timeshare Exit Team. You go to Timeshare Exit Team, you let them do the heavy lifting. And they have a 100% guarantee they'll get you out or they'll give you a complete refund. If they can't get you out, they haven't earned their money. Go to timeshareexitteam.com and find out more. That's Timeshare Exit Team. Timeshareexitteam.com to get your information. Back with the news next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Eleven and Dean's off today. Andrea is full of show business.
Thank you for saying show business.
Yes, and you got a couple of headlines for us?
I do. You know, Justin Timberlake's a big golfer. I don't know if you heard about this. He was playing in a golf tournament over the weekend in Lake Tahoe, and he's walking through the crowd, and, you know, there's a lot of overzealous fans out there. Some reach out for an autograph or maybe a handshake. There was a man who slapped him.
Why would you hit JT?
Well, that's what JT said. He's literally turned around and he said, "Bro, why would you do that?" And then security, the guards apparently descended on this person and escorted him off of the grounds. Very, very
bizarre.
He says he told the police he just wanted to touch him, but the police said that he appeared to be intoxicated.
Sandberg, did you hit Justin Timberlake?
I did not hit Justin Timberlake, but I watch this tournament every year. It's his tournament. You know, it's a charity thing. And it looks like the most fun, even better than the Waste Management. They have, because it's right up against the lake, so there's all these people in bikinis and bathing suits.
Yeah, the boats pull up.
Yeah, they're watching, and everybody's intoxicated, so I'm not surprised. But they kept playing your favorite song.
Which one?
Work, work, work.
Justin Timberlake's song you and Abigail like to.
Can't help it. Mark Mulder? Mark Mulder won, right?
Yeah. But Justin Alfonso, what's that guy?
Alfonso Ribeiro,
yeah.
Yeah, and Steph Curry. Oh my gosh, they were like hitting greens. It's
Alfonso Ribeiro can play.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake is.
Timberlake is a great golfer.
I mean, he does everything.
Oh, he's so adorable. Oh my God, I can't get over it.
I actually don't think he's physically that cute, but
I do.
He's so good.
I agree with you, Mary. I don't think he's all that.
No, he's awesome.
God. No.
He can do everything, though.
Everything. Well. Really
exactly.
Well.
Oh,
he's
good
at what he does.
He's the perfect man.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen if his baby is cute or not, so he might not produce cute children.
And that would knock you down a notch?
Yeah.
Okay.
But everything else.
That would knock put it down a notch.
Sure.
Poor JT.
Who's he married to? Timberlake?
Jessica Biel, yeah.
She's doing any movies anymore?
Does she? Oh, you know what? She had an indie film out. She was at Sundance last year. I don't know what the name of the film was, though.
What was that hideous movie that she did with Sandler and Kevin James?
Oh, where they had to pretend
they were gay?
Yeah. I don't know if she wore her underwear in that, though. She's a really nice
guy. Right, and Sandler took the job just so he could feel her up.
Oh, really?
What? Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah. There's a scene where, because he's gay, she lets him touch her boobs.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and he's not really gay.
That's why he took the gig?
Yeah.
Okay, it turns out the baby is adorable. Dave just showed me.
Oh, my God, he even makes cute babies. He's so perfect.
So perfect.
I now really pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Oh, that was an awful movie.
All right, what else?
Keisha Knight Pulliam, who used to be on The Cosby Show. She is the latest in the celebrity marriages to last less than a year. Any guesses? She married actor Ed Hartwell. They filed for divorce after how many months of marriage?
11.
Dave, guess?
3.
7.
Or in the middle.
And guess why?
They grew apart.
Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah, well, you know what happens is, here's what happens. The first month, it's just hot. Everything's great. But then the second month, you start arguing about the little things. The third month, you go to your friends. The fourth month, you go to your family. Fifth month, you move out for a trial separation. Sixth month, you hire an attorney. Seventh month, you're out.
I guess.
And we've seen it time and time again. Look, it's not like they didn't give it a chance. They gave it 7 full months.
Who was the one, the woman on the, was it The View or The Chew or The Talk, and she wanted everyone to pay for her wedding? And then they got it. Remember, she wanted sponsors. Was it Star Jones?
I think it may have been.
She wanted people to sponsor the wedding. Yeah, that didn't work out either. Yeah. Do you want me to talk about JoJo or no? I know you're
Who's
big
JoJo?
On this. JoJo is the Bachelorette.
Wait,
is that tonight?
My wife
no,
might
the
be
one
listening.
That was on at midnight last night. So
what?
Nobody's seen it.
It was preempted by the Cubs. My wife was very... very unhappy.
We all were.
But the DVR would automatically be set to record it at midnight. So no one had.
Wait a minute, I don't understand what's going on.
Nobody's
here.
Watched it unless you stayed
so
up till
Cubs
midnight.
Preempted
Steve,
the Bachelorette.
So the Bachelorette finale was last night?
No. It was the next episode. Tonight is the Men Tell All, and then next week is the finale.
Oh, you couldn't miss.
I apologize.
You certainly couldn't miss it for the Cubs.
So don't tell us anything that happened last night.
I apologize to everybody in Radioland for bringing it up.
Oh, tell me.
And don't.
Tell me what happened. I'm on pins and needles.
I can't. Everyone's going to be all ticked off.
Yeah, don't do it, Andrea.
Wait, you're going to tell us what happened last night?
Yes.
Yeah,
no.
Don't do it.
No.
I'm just going to move on to a different story.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Steve Cochran.
How about Liv Tyler?
What happened with JoJo?
Steve, you don't care.
Steve, it's for your own good.
People.
Do you want all these women mad at you?
You're right. I really don't care. All right. What else?
Liv Tyler talking about breastfeeding. Mila Kunis talking about Ashton Kutcher's.
Let's hear about that.
How about entertainment
tonight?
Mila
Kunis is addressing Ashton Kutcher's little Ashton?
She was at... What? Ah, that's a great way to put it. She was on the Late Show Monday, and I guess...
She's got Bad Moms coming out, the movie, this weekend.
It's
which is why she's out plugging it.
That movie looks hilarious, I have
to
say.
Why would she be talking about her husband's hoo-ha?
It was a question from James Corden, and they were talking about... I didn't see it. I'm actually just reading about it. But they asked her to compare. This is
careful.
This is gross. Okay.
Careful. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Careful.
I know. I'm trying to phrase this nicely. Okay. So the question was, would she compare Ashton Kutcher's little
hoo-ha.
Ashton to a carrot stick or a beer can?
Why would you do that?
Meaning,
yeah. No, I get it. But why would you do that? I don't understand why James Corden would do that.
She says a beer can.
Okay. All right, then.
And entertainment tonight at the Democratic National Convention last night.
Colt 45.
We saw Demi Lovato and Paul Simon. Tonight, more big names on the docket, Steve. Lady Gaga and Alicia Keys performing at the DNC tonight.
Is a shot glass bad? Anything else new on the Ron Sandak resignation?
Not anything that we didn't talk about yesterday. Just the whole situation is just a little bit bizarre. Ron Sandick from Downers Grove has resigned abruptly because he had some...
His social media accounts were hacked
and he wanted to spend more time with his kids. It's kind of a strange time
just,
to...
Politically, I generally agree with the guy.
Sure.
And I like him. A couple times I've met him. It's just a very odd...
He also said there's an article today. Monique Garcia wrote a good story. She said that he also said that politics is just getting too ugly.
Well, he's right about that. There's no doubt about that. It's 8:23. Do you have the music? There's a story that came out yesterday about the best music to wake up to. Do you guys wake up to music? Like, do you have a song that kicks on in the morning? Or?
No. I usually hear Nick.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I have an alarm.
You don't wake up to Nick's bumper music. So, but you know, a lot of people have music alarms, right? Yeah. Wakes up to a song or wakes up to like a Pandora station or whatever.
Yeah.
Where was this list from? Jake, do you remember? I sent it to you. Now I forgot.
Yeah, it was in Time Magazine, but it was Spotify partnered with a psychologist or something. David M. Greenberg is his name.
So this can put you in a good mood. This gets you started, gets you out of bed.
Yeah, they came up with a song list, 20 songs.
All right.
So these are the top five. Do you want to start at number five?
Number five.
You want to start at number five? We could do that.
Number five of the top 20 songs to wake up to, according to Time Magazine and Spotify. You guys told me before you like Pentatonix.
Yes.
Pentatonix is the a cappella group that's been killing it for a couple of years.
This is so soothing, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd put me back to sleep, I think.
That's kind of nice. Number four on the list. By the way, you couldn't name that one. You've won nothing so far.
Got nothing.
Number four on the list from Time Magazine and Spotify. So wake me up when it's all over. I think what happens here is you run the risk of the person you sleep with punching you in the head.
This is a good song, though.
You get up before them and you hear this peppy thing. Because I remember my mom would come in and she'd sing every morning. And I remember when I was a little kid, it was cool. And then when I got to be like a teenager, it was like, please, God, just keep mom out of the room.
What'd she sing? You are my sunshine.
Yeah, it was like some good morning song she made up. You know,
my mom would sing, you got to get up.
Avicii, wake me up.
You got to get up in the morning.
Oh, no.
Yes, she did.
Number three on the list.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
Wow, this is number one, man. This has got to be number one.
And the sunlight hurts my
John DeCons.
Well, it's actually Bill Withers first, but you know.
Something without warning, love.
On the Steve Cocker Show All Time Top 10.
Heavy on my mind.
Now, this is number four.
Then I look at you.
On my top 10 all time is what I'm saying.
I love this song. Right, it's called Cochran Show, right?
Yeah. The actual working title of the song from when it was a hit.
I know it's
No, we like it better as this, though, right?
This is Bill Withers and Lovely Day, number 3. He was so good. There's a story, in the LA Times, I think about a year ago, that Bill Withers quit because he felt like his voice wasn't getting it done anymore. And, you know, he's, I guess, probably mid-70s now. And he's sung at a couple of things, but other than that, generally stays out. All right, number 2 on the list. This is from Dr. David Greenberg, Spotify and Time Magazine. Best songs to wake up to. Here's number 2. I haven't been a disc jockey in a long time. I don't know this song. Was this a hit? Do you guys know this record?
I didn't know it either.
It's an 80s band, right?
Saint Lucia, Elevate.
Oh, I never heard of it.
It sounds like A-ha's Cousins.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. And the number 1 song on the list, a band that was in town this weekend. They're ridiculed often. To me, they've always been U2 light. But here's your number 1 song to wake up to. Coldplay. It rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Just me? Nobody else sees the U2 ripoff?
I was going to say, am I the only one who doesn't like them?
I don't dislike them. It's just it's a big whatever.
I like them.
They're okay, fan. I wouldn't have sat out in the rain for them, though.
Steve and I went to the concert.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
And at the end, when Dave held me up on his shoulders for the encore, he threw his back out.
That was sweet.
Yeah. So there you go, top 5 songs. Jake, you want to post the whole list? You guys put the whole list up on Twitter at Cochran Show. 828, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I understand that many people here in this convention hall and around the country are disappointed about the final results of the nominating process. I think it's fair to say that no one is more disappointed than I am.
Has the ovation stopped yet? Oh, they love Bernie. What's not to love about Bernie? Your crazy uncle who believes in you? Wants everything to be a little better? Hard not to like the old Bernie. And Bernie's living it up, man. I mean, you think about the career arc of Bernie Sanders. You know, he's always been doing something in public, right? Doing something sort of public service. He was a broke hippie in the 60s, you know, in and out of public service for the most part. But then he ends up in Congress.
Yeah.
Eventually, a term and a half ago, makes his way to the Senate. But he really never got a lot of stuff passed. He was a backbencher is the cliche they use. But then he runs for president at the absolute perfect time.
Oh, yeah.
He strikes a chord with kids. Kids start showing up. Kids, social media blows up, and he's Bernie Sanders' rock star.
Yeah, he's got the movement.
But he goes out last night, thunderous applause.
Well, thunderous, yeah. How about going into his speech, too?
Loud enough where he could hear it.
Yeah, I didn't even think he was going to speak.
Mark Alderman is very active in Democratic politics, chairman of Cozen O'Connor Strategies. And, Mark, are you in Philly? You got to be there, aren't you?
I am here. Good morning.
Was it as loud last night as it sounded on TV in the room? All right. So that should sum it up. Did we lose him? We did. We lost him.
Oh. You know, I will say something. Being at the RNC, remember...
Does Philadelphia have public phone lines?
I know. We've had some bad phone lines. Remember you asked me about the Ted Cruz booing the day after? Because I was sitting for the Cruz speech. I was way at the top. Yeah, and yeah. I heard... sporadic, but being in the center that big, because that's a great question we can ask when he rejoins us. But it's sometimes hard to hear being in a stadium that big, the boos.
So what I was asking you, Mark, before we lost you there, is the Bernie Sanders ovation, was it as loud in the room as it sounded on TV?
Maybe louder. It was hard to hear yourself think. It was thunderous. It was as enthusiastic a reception as I've seen at one of these in a long time.
What do you think really got him over the top? Because I think his story, this is not going to be the John Anderson thing. This is not going to be the whomever your second place finisher of a major party is. I think Bernie's going to have a place in history for this run. And what do you think got him there?
I think, Steve, that more than anything else, it was his authenticity. This guy is who he presents himself as being. You can agree, you can disagree. But as I heard you saying earlier, he's been doing this his whole career. It's been public service of one sort or another from the start. And the thing that absolutely struck me last night in talking to people about their support for Bernie and their support for Hillary, which I think comes next, is the trust that they have in this man. He is genuine. He is authentic. They believe what he says. They believe him. And that is rare among public figures today.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Do you think juxtaposed against Hillary's trust numbers, that authenticity cut through even harder?
I think it cuts even harder against Hillary and many public figures with trust numbers that are upside down.
So this is what's fascinating, because, you know, we've had Bernie on the show a number of times. And
sure. And
I said to Senator Sanders, I said the same thing you're talking about. I said, I have nothing but respect for the fact that you believe every word of what you're saying. And I guess that may be one of the things kids connected with, even though they didn't really connect with how, you know, the meat grinder of the way things get done in Washington. Because Bernie, somewhere along the line, do you remember when we had Bernie on and I said, okay, show me on the rich person where they hurt you? Because Bernie's been going after folks with too much money who don't care about little people forever, right?
Forever, absolutely, from college and for 50 years now. And again, it is the fact that he actually believes what he says that struck such a chord with so many people.
So those in Washington who dislike Ted Cruz don't dislike Bernie on the same level, but I also think Bernie could be that sort of annoyance to some of the regular cast members of the Senate. And yes, I meant cast members. What makes him more tolerable to the ones that find his noise annoying at times in that small group of senators?
I think what makes him more tolerable is 50 years of public service. And yes, he can be annoying and he can be cranky and he can even be a little mean, but compared to Ted Cruz, this is a man with 50 years of public service. Ted Cruz showed up and started distorting the Senate for his own purposes, and he just doesn't have the history, and he just doesn't have, again, the genuineness and authenticity that Bernie brings.
What do you think he does now? What does he do with this? Because some of it has to be allocated to him by a Clinton administration, assuming she wins. But what does he do with this thump, this heat of the moment?
I think that he does two things. I think that the election that matters every bit as much to Bernie's role as the presidential is the Senate. If Chuck Schumer is the next majority leader, I think Bernie is going to play a prominent role in the Senate. He will clearly be the voice of the progressive side of things. And I expect that a majority leader Schumer would call on him for some serious assignments. The other thing that I think he does, Steve, is he tries, and this is hard, he tries to keep the movement alive. President Obama tried to keep the movement alive with mediocre results. We'll see if Bernie is able to do more with it.
Mark, do you see Bernie Sanders in a Hillary Clinton cabinet position?
I don't, Andrea. I don't think that is a role that either of them wants him to play, but certainly not the next president. I don't see that.
What's the feeling on the ground there in Philadelphia? Are the Democrats beyond the danger zone here? Are they going to be able to keep it between the white lines, or will the roll call tonight get a little dicey?
No, I think, honestly, thank God for Michelle Obama. I think Michelle Obama picked up this convention, put it on her shoulders, and carried it out of danger. Before Michelle took the stage, it was edgy all day. Bernie got booed. Debbie Wasserman Schultz got booed. And the Florida delegation. There's no doubt that it was an edgy day until the First Lady took the stage. And I think that she reached out and touched every Democrat in that hall and in this city. And I think that after that, it's all good.
We know that Donna Brazile is going to run the DNC through the election. I'll let you go on this. Any thoughts on who may be the new DNC head for the next year, years going forward?
I don't know, Steve, actually. I don't have a thought. I think all focus is on November 8th, and
right.
the new president will then, I think, put the DNC in order.
Could go crazy. We might even get a ninth Supreme Court judge eventually.
Oh,
how insane would that be?
We might have a full Supreme Court.
Crazy. Thank you for your time, Mark. I appreciate it. Three members of Boyz II Men broke their hips while trying to recreate the choreography from 1990 on this. Steve Cochran Show continues, 8:52. There is other news going on in the world, believe it or not. And among the other news going on in the world is a pretty good story about a Boston Marathon bombing amputee who this week scaled a mountain in Ecuador. So while the rest of us sit around and go, should I go work out?
Or how about it's hot?
Should I go for a walk? I'm tired. Boston Marathon bombing survivor Adrian Haslett posed at the starting line before running in the 120th Boston Marathon a couple of weeks ago. Since then, she, again, scaled a mountain in Ecuador.
Was she the ballroom dancer?
I don't remember. Don't remember.
I think so. She was a professional ballroom dancer.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Wow.
Could be. The convention, of course, continues, and most of the news that's going on comes out of the convention. In a world of bad news, Japan has endured the worst mass murder in generations. 19 people were killed, 20 wounded in a knife attack outside of a facility for the handicapped in Tokyo. Marissa Mayer is apparently done at Yahoo once the Verizon guy shows up. She was supposed to be the person who was going to save Yahoo, and didn't happen. Verizon bought Yahoo. It'll take several months to do the due diligence and close that sale. But you got to believe she's going to get a nice package as she heads for the door.
They're saying the package could be $219 million.
Yeah. Yeah. What about my parking space? Do I still get parking? And something called the Solar Impulse 2 plane has landed in Abu Dhabi more than a year after its takeoff. It is a plane that circled the world on solar power. I don't know. Listen, you got to be a confident pilot. Oh, my God, there's a cloud! I guess that's not the way solar energy works.
And they don't have charging stations up there.
It stores and sells, right? The solar panels collect solar energy, and that's how it gets powered?
I think so, yeah. It stores the energy.
I still prefer, the engine that keeps running. And Michael Jordan made news yesterday for breaking his silence on social issues for all of us who've known Michael for a long time. As far as we're concerned, first time ever. This is the same Michael Jordan who said Republicans buy sneakers too and has always been a businessman first. Jordan owns the Charlotte Hornets, published a one-page letter on The Undefeated. It's a new ESPN platform. Jordan said he'd be donating $1 million each to the International Association of Chiefs of Police, newly established Institute for Community Police Relations, and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Here's a quote: as a proud American, a father who lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a black man, I've been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting and killing of police officers. Jordan wrote, I agree with the families who've lost loved ones, as they know, I know their pain all too well. And listen, he stepped up, and he's also written a check, and a couple of checks, and they're big ones. So I really salute Michael for doing this. And, at this point in his life, maybe this is what he's going to do for the next 20 years or so. He's a billionaire. He certainly has money he can give away if he chooses to. But good for him for reaching out and also for understanding that both sides have a case to state here.
Right. And he's being almost universally applauded for doing this.
I don't know how you can knock him.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm sure there are people saying, well, why didn't you speak up sooner?
Yeah.
One of the things he said, Steve, was that he was going to come out sooner about this, but with the controversy in North Carolina about House Bill 2 and the protection for the LGBT community, then and the NBA moving the All-Star game out of there, he didn't want this to get lost in the shuffle, and that's why he waited till now.
Well,
so
look at our Michael Jordan. He's all grown up. So good for him. Good for him. I think it's a laudable thing to do. Wintrust Community Bank's Hour continues. Let's take a break. Come back. Get your news at 9 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
What I admire most about Hillary is that she never buckles under pressure. She never takes the easy way out. And Hillary Clinton has never quit on anything in her life. I'm with her.
Together with Hillary Clinton as our president, America, we will rise. God bless America. Let us rise together.
A woman who fights for children, for women, for health care, for human rights. A woman who fights for all of us. We're here today because our choice is Hillary Clinton. I'm with Hillary.
Any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Hillary Clinton had a much better night than Ro Khan had as an afternoon. Ro Khan was nearly electrocuted yesterday. It's condensation and rainstorms. And tourists dripped on him while he was sitting near expensive, shocking electrical equipment. Can you reset that story for people?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Steve. I've never seen this happen. You know, like, I've seen demonstrations, I think in high school or college, they showed a demonstration in a clear cube of how rain can actually form by creating cold and heat and humidity, and all of a sudden it starts to, like, a cloud forms, and then it starts to rain.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what happened at the entrance at the Wells Fargo Center yesterday, right next to Radio Row, where the delegates were coming in, where it was 100 degrees with, like, 100% humidity here yesterday. And then there was air conditioning, and we had an air conditioning vent directly over us. You know, like one of those things that, like, on a beam, and sunk into a beam that's directly over our heads. And
so you've got 100 degrees. You've got the air conditioning overhead blowing cool air.
And
that's when the cloud formed?
Yes. You know how, like, stadiums keep it really cold because they know it's going to get really hot?
Yeah.
All right. So we got there. It was like the United Center when we got there yesterday. It was, like, super cold. Then the delegates started coming in. And why do we need delegates anyway? That's what I said to Jeff. I said, why do we need delegates? They keep opening the door. Tell them to stay out there. They don't need to come in. And then a cloud formed and it started to rain right on our equipment.
I don't understand how the delegates entered. They walk right by you?
Yeah, so we're in a roped off area that is in between the main door that the delegates enter, and then they go in on, you know, section 121, 122, whatever it is, into 123, into the doors, you know, like to go through the entrance to go down to the floor, and so, and it's like a, you know, 30-foot walk. Although there is Radio Row. And there's also a Hillary kiosk where you can buy all of this, like, mid-century dictator art with her face on it, which is really, I'm going to take a picture and tweet it today because it's creepy. It's, I don't know why. I mean, they're doing it for Trump. They're doing it for her. They did it for Obama. Everybody thinks that Joe Stalin art was a good idea, and I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's weird. It looked like a mosaic, the Trump ones. But remember Light Bright? It reminded me of, remember when you would put the Light Bright pegs in?
Light Bright making things with light. What a sight making things with Light Bright. No, I don't remember.
Look. Rose Wright. It's weird.
All right. So the last night, of course, you couldn't enjoy it because you were soaked to the bone. But last night, the Democrats seemed to pull one out of the fire.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I was listening to the montage you just played, and we were in the room, and it didn't sound exactly like that.
What did it sound like?
It was kind of flat, and it was surprising to me. I thought Elizabeth Warren was kind of flat. Cory Booker, you played a little bit of Cory Booker right there, the governor of New Jersey, who had gotten a certain amount. Not governor, that's Chris Christie, senator from New Jersey.
Right.
Different guy. Anyway, the point,
one's a thin black guy, the other's a bloaty white guy.
Yeah, right, exactly. They make the number 10 when they stand next to each other.
Right.
They the thing that happened was that when he was there, he couldn't get people to stand up. I mean, until Bernie Sanders took the stage, those delegates were sitting in their seats the entire way. And that was there was applause because they've got a crescent around the podium, right? So it sounds a little louder on the podium mic than it actually does in the room. And it wasn't hot until Bernie Sanders got there.
And then
Bernie Sanders people were booing. Yeah. There was a lot. Every time Hillary's name was coming up, the Bernie Sanders people would boo.
When Sarah Silverman said, you guys are being ridiculous, did that make it worse or better?
Well, there's a lot of booing for her. And you know what? And she ate it. That's a comedic term, right? She ate it on stage last night, and that was a problem. She got up there with Al Franken, and they had to stretch. And so she ran out of things. She did her speech. Her speech was fine. And then she was told to stretch after the speech, and that's when she turned on the crowd.
Yeah, I don't understand how, because Sarah Silverman's funny, and Franken used to be funny. And I understand how the two of them couldn't tap dance for 2 or 3 minutes without going, how much time now?
Right, it was very odd. It was awkward. The word we kept using last night was awkward, and I think it was up until Bernie Sanders. And then talk about awk. It's because he's the guy who lost, right? So he's the guy who lost, and everybody is like screaming and jumping up and down for him. So I think there's a problem. The other piece of this too, Michelle Obama was great. I thought the speech was great. She had silver shoes; they were great. But the problem that she had is, you know, she says America's pretty great when she told a story about her daughters being taken up to school in the Secret Service and playing on the White House lawn with the dogs. And that does tell you about the advancement of America, and that is great. However, I don't think Americans, I think the problem with this election is that there's a lot of Americans, working class Americans, don't feel great and feel like that they when it's, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, say the system's rigged, they're working harder for the same or less money than they were before. They're worried about their health care. They're worried about crime. They're worried about the wars. They're worried about all of that. I think that needs to be addressed by Hillary Clinton or somebody over these next couple of nights, maybe Bill.
Yeah, because I agreed with what she said, you know, because this is a great country, but it's not great all the time for everybody. So there does need to be an acknowledgement of it.
Right. But she was great. You know, it was very fun to watch her. You know, we've been watching her since 2007.
I thought it was a great speech.
Yeah.
So what's the word on the big fella, Bill Clinton, tonight? Any early leaks on what he's going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about me and more about me.
I want to tell a
story. It was weird watching him.
You know, Hillary and I went to the Cracker Barrel, and we're sitting there. You know, they got an antique shop in there as well.
I don't know.
Can he? Do you think there are 5 quality anecdotes from their marriage that he could bring up? I don't know that there are.
Oh, there's anecdotes.
No, I'm not talking about a lamp to the head.
Oh,
I'm talking about.
He'll bring up the grandkids.
You know, we did this, we did that, that kind of thing.
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to do is he's going to talk. I think they're going to use him as a pit bull because he can be. They're going to let him talk about Trump. They're going to let him talk about Republicans. They're going to let him talk about what the Republicans did to him. You better be careful about that because some of the stuff they did to him was based on truth.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be. He's great on stage. You know, it doesn't matter what he does. He just, because you get sucked into him. You can see how he talked secretaries in Arkansas into his motel room. You can see it. I mean, he's charming. I almost went in his motel room. I don't know where he said they went. In Iowa, he was in the elevator and he hit on a woman in 3 floors in an Des Moines, Iowa elevator. Yeah. And she wanted to walk out with him. And I was standing right there in the elevator.
Yeah, and it was Andrea.
Yeah, it was not. Well, I was expecting to see Roe sitting next to him in his suite, in his little box up there.
Tony Preckwinkle was sitting there. No one else could sit there.
Yeah, they kept rotating in and out, different people.
Yeah. You think Rahm was there? You know, was Rahm in the background going, hey, Rahm, when's it going to be my turn?
No, Rahm's tomorrow. Right, exactly. Yeah. Who is that guy? Wait, how'd he get in here? He is expected to arrive tomorrow, and that's and then it's really going to rain over the over the Illinois broadcasters, and specifically the Chicago broadcasters. And there's me is basically who the at this point, and then me and Anna and Andrea on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, listen, stay alive. We will find you.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do.
Be safe. Or buy the I'm With Her rain poncho for today. Just to be safe.
You know that I'm With Her, the people are not tracking that slogan. You were talking about slogans.
Yeah.
They're not really catching the I'm With Her thing.
No, I got to tell you, it does feel like we're going to force this down your throat until you start saying it.
You will say, I'm with her. Yeah, it's like, okay, I got it.
All right, America, easy. I'm with her. I'm with who? What?
No,
it's not working. It's not working at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, we can. A little easier to.
How about this? On. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Who's with me? It's 9:22. Rokan, you're on the 3 o'clock this afternoon, live from Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you and the Liberty Bell.
Thank you.
It's 9:22. Let's do this. Take a break. Come back at 7:20. WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
7:20. WGN.
Got some more texts. These are people that either witnessed or were engaged in stupid things at work. 6-3, I worked with somebody who, despite being a normal computer user at best, I should say, despite being a nominal computer user at best, decided to take it upon herself to delete a program she didn't want on her computer.
No.
At work.
Don't do it.
She deleted the entire operating system from our network.
Now, how could it be that easy?
Shouldn't be.
To delete.
Should be able to protect
network.
Yourself from the fools at work.
Yeah.
224, while working for a contractor, we were cutting 2x4s in the shop. One by one, we cut tons of studs until my boss accidentally cut off the last 3 fingers of his hand. He very calmly took his shirt off, wrapped up his hand. I was 17 at the time. I was panicked, took him to the hospital. When we arrived, the doctor told me to go back and find his fingers.
Is that in the job description?
Unfortunately, I could only find 2. I couldn't find his pinky. Driving frantically back, luckily not that far, I found his fingers in a pile of sawdust. Everything got put back together again, but he's still missing his pinky. So I suppose if anybody sees it, call us.
That's so gross. By the way, I know what it's like to work with a bunch of studs.
Yeah, you do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty. We got a lot of nasty, like, industrial accidents in these texters. But first, 630 is a former flight attendant, and I was working on a flight with 3 other attendants plus an extra from another base because the flight was full. She was sitting in the jump seat with another crew member. She was talking about her wonderful boyfriend, showed a picture of him to the crew member. Turned out to be that flight attendant's husband.
Oh, what?
That's a little awkward. How far to Tampa?
Oh, that's insane.
224, for a company picnic, the inept favorite executive administrative assistant made us play games where he had to compete at sucking water from baby bottles.
Oh, okay.
With the nipples.
What is this, a daycare center?
Riding tiny tricycles and running across plowed fields with injuries that caused lost work days. When I left to get something done, rather than stay late, she threatened that I would get disqualified from winning the prizes and informed me the general manager said, hey, we have to have fun.
What weird games, though.
It's a little odd.
Bottles? Tricycles?
847 is a summer intern. I saw a guy walk into my office with a bone for his thumb and no skin attached. He had it sucked off by a shrink wrapping machine roller. And I had to run to the hospital with his thumb skin stuck in a bag.
Oh. What's with all these finger injuries? Right. Losing phalanges?
I wonder if the 847 could find the pinky. Maybe it somehow ended up in the machine.
Okay. So wait, this begs the question. If you're playing in a game or you're doing a team building thing with the boss, do you let the boss win?
No.
Okay.
No, I played golf with the boss yesterday.
And you crushed him?
No, I beat him by 3 shots. He played well.
But you won't throw it?
No.
Okay.
No. And DeCastro, he wouldn't let you throw it. If DeCastro thought you were throwing it, he'd fire you. Yeah, you don't throw it to the boss. Oh. Besides, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so since he's a good player, you better play well. And finally, this, I had a coworker who bought a new car and came in talking about how it had great gas mileage. My coworkers thought it'd be funny to go out and siphon a couple of gallons of gas from the tank. All we heard about every day, they added gas to the tank, so the gas mileage got even better. All we heard about every day was a terrific gas mileage, and people couldn't keep a straight face. A couple of weeks later, when they stopped, he called the dealer and said something was wrong with the car. That's when we told him we were putting them on. That'd be practical jokes at work.
Yeah, those would be good, too. That'd be a good text question.
That's an expensive practical joke, though, depending on the price of gas. Right now, it's $5 a day. If it's funny, though, I'll pay. It's 9:30. We'll come back to the big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jimmy Pearsall back in the ballpark, and I'm sure glad, and I hope they don't let you people see what's going on here at Comiskey Park. One of the saddest sights I've ever seen in a ballpark in my life. This garbage of demolishing a record has turned into a fiasco.
The baseball is no longer the story. It's this crowd, and the White Sox may have to forfeit the second game.
This is Bill Beck. Please clear the park, or we'll have to call off the game and close the park.
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. What started out, well, I'll ask Dave Hoekstra about this, but what started out, in my opinion, is a bit.
It is.
Grows into a cultural piece like maybe none other in Chicago radio history. And it's been there's been accusations of homophobic behavior and racism and all that. It's a bit.
It was a bit. I was there.
It was a bit.
Yeah, that stuff was not. That's revisionist history.
Disco demolition, the night disco died. Steve Dahl's biggest moment, Dave Hoekstra. And explain to people who Paul Natkin is.
Paul Natkin's a rock and roll photographer, a longtime Chicago guy, and he was there. He was hired by the Loop. He was on the Jeep as they brought the Jeep into center field. So a lot of Paul's photos are in the book. You know, that's
Did you have Dahl on your show?
Yeah, we did. We did.
I mean, I know you wrote the book with him. I would have had Dahl on here, but I was told Dahl wouldn't come on because of a contractual thing.
I don't know that he came on a little bit. We had a lot of the characters on a Saturday night. We had Mike Veck on the phone. We had Dahl on the phone. Paul came in the studio. So yeah.
Who approached who about the book? I mean, you were there, but did you approach him?
They approached me. The idea came from Natkin because he had all these pictures and they were shopping the book around. And I think they wanted to do a book. You know, I kind of moved the needle off. I wanted to move the needle off of Steve's story and do a kind of sociological story just about Chicago and what Chicago was like in 1979. You
sure.
Know? More than just Steve?
Yeah, this is long before I got here, but it certainly became a national story because, generally speaking, bits didn't turn into forfeited games and Hall of Famers screaming. And what essentially, and you point this out in the book, I mean, this kind of ended Mike Veck's big league
to
career.
To me, that's the big part of the book. I mean, every book has a good point, a conflict and stuff. And what happened there, I mean, you were just turning on the tape. I mean, Bill Veck took a lot of the hits for his son, you know. It's very dramatic.
It was Mike's idea, right?
Yeah, Mike and Bill. But Mike was
a Steve and Gary fan?
He was just hanging around the Loop. I don't think he was listening to him that much and stuff. But, you know, the fact that Bill took the hit for his son is pretty dramatic. And then, yeah, Steve's career ascended and Mike's kind of fell apart.
Mike has owned a minor league teams here and there, and I think he still owns a team in St. Paul, didn't he?
St. Paul and in Charleston.
Yeah, and they always do these cool promotions, cool minor league promotions, but like his dad, he had a ton of great ideas.
Yeah, they just did a Prince promotion this year in St. Paul, where they wore purple jerseys and stuff.
Book's called Disco Demolition, The Night Disco Died. And Sandberg, you produced Dahl Show for how long?
Like 10 years.
Okay. He never brought this up, did he?
Oh, no, not at all. But I do know he was approached a lot by a lot of people that wanted to do a book and using Paul's photos. And so he waited out for the right person, I think. That's not by accident. He said no to a lot of people, you know, that he didn't like what they had to say about it or the angle they were going to take.
Well, I think it helps too, Dave, that you were there.
Yeah, I was there, and I wanted just to, you know, we tried to get all the characters who were there in 79. I mean, we talked to Nancy Faust, who's playing organ, you know, and she does a sidebar of her top 10 disco songs, and we found Lorelei, you know, I mean, so it was like, yeah.
The original Loop Girl.
Yeah, right, yeah. So I just tried to find out, you know, Roger Bosser, you know, I got the guy who set off the fireworks and stuff, so.
Well, it's funny
I tried to put all the characters together from 1979. It wasn't a look at it from
all right, today. So you guys take me back to this, because, you know, obviously I don't know the story the way you guys know it. But Steve and Gary, was it Steve and Gary then? Were they together at that
point? They hadn't been together that long.
Yeah, 4 months. So Steve and Gary are together, and everybody's always looking for the right idea. 1979, you're on the radio, and this was the best radio town forever for personalities and for talent. So I assume they come up with this idea. They probably thought the White Sox would never agree
to it,
right?
He was angry because he was on a station that flipped to disco.
Yeah.
So he got angry and was breaking records all the time on the air prior to this promotion. So they thought they would have a big...
But whose idea was it to take it to the next level and blow up records in front of 50,000?
It's all in the book. I mean, they all had a meeting. I think Vec kind of approached the Loop, and it was 98 cents to get in. You got to remember the Loop.
Teen nights. They had it at the park.
It was never called Disco Demolition. It was called Teen Night, and became known as Disco Demolition afterwards. It was billed as Teen Night, and they had done a Teen Night before. You know, and... I went because, and this is true with a lot of people, I went because I liked rock and roll. The Faces were the first concert I ever saw.
Sure.
In 1979, Rod Stewart's doing Do You Think I'm Sexy? You know, it was awful. And then I brought the Do Blondes Have More Fun? You know, that's what I brought in. There were a lot of people who were defending rock and roll. That's why they went to that concert.
So was there a sense that when you got there could be trouble?
It was a hot and humid night, you know. It was steamy. There were a lot of people there. This whole thing about I didn't see traffic backed up on the Dan Ryan or anything, but it was funky. It was not a baseball crowd. It was Loop listeners, the black t-shirts, you know, and stuff like that.
What's Steve's recollection of the story that you've heard so many times?
Yeah, I think that he, they were only drawing like 5,000 people at these games.
Well, they were 10 games under or something?
Yeah, they were very mediocre.
Yeah.
And they started, there was the first game, and then they started coming. He started to get a little nervous because you could tell it was a little unrest. You know, there was, the box they were going to build, the records was overflowing with records, so people had extra records in the stands.
And they were going to fling them down?
Yeah, and that was what was
happening. This is pre-riot, of course.
Yes.
When did it go awry? At what point did you
know? Was it the first explosion? The first, wasn't there two explosions?
It was between the games. I mean, they got through the first game.
I think even as he was riding out to the field, they were on a Jeep because he did a whole Army theme and people were throwing records.
And Natkin has a story where he was on the Jeep and they saw everything. You know, people were swearing and throwing beer bottles and the Jeep just did a U-turn and went back through the center field fence. I talked to Kenny Kravec, who pitched for both the Cubs and the White Sox, you know, and he was warming up for the second game and he said already then, you know, records are going by his head like Frisbees and stuff like that. So
in 1979, what do they do at the park to try to stop a riot that's about to happen?
Well, they didn't have enough security. Vec has a really interesting story about how I remember going to Sox games. I'm a Cubs fan, but I'm going to Sox games. They had little ticket booths that were like the size of phone booths, you know, and people were just knocking those over. And, you know, they didn't have the right amount of security, and those booths were just so small. They couldn't, you know, they didn't expect that many people. I think he said they expected 25, 30,000. They had like 45, 50,000.
And once it starts, obviously it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
How'd they clear the field?
They had horses, cops on them. Cops came out on horses and stuff. They just kind of pushed. I mean, you know, me, I just left. We were in the upper deck.
They tried from the announcer's booth. Yeah. Harry and them tried to say back to your seats and stuff.
There's all this stuff.
Nobody was listening.
Yeah, they announced the forfeit right away, or did MLB come up with that?
It was the next day, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was talk that if Dahl was able to talk to the crowd, they might have been able to clear the field.
They weren't going to let
Dahl talk to the crowd.
No, they figured there was enough trouble.
And poor Bill Vec. I mean, there's stories about how he was wandering around in the outfield. And the outfield was kind of soggy, I guess. He had the peg leg, you know, and there's a story about how he couldn't get his leg out of the mud.
Perfect ending to a perfect day.
I mean, Bill was on his, you know, Bill was the end of Bill's thing anyway.
Did Dahl and Pearsall ever get together and talk about
this? I don't think so. I kind of wanted to talk to Jimmy for the book, but I don't think he's in very good health.
But through the years, does that ring a bell, Sandberg?
I don't recall that he was, that they've talked, no.
Yeah.
I don't think he was real happy with him, so.
No, Pearsall wasn't.
Yeah, and is Steve happy with the book?
Yeah, he's real happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gave me free rein. I mean, I didn't want to avoid the homophobic racism thing. I think one thing that was really important to do in the book was to make the connection with disco and house music. So that's kind of how the book plays out at the end. And so Joe Shanahan from Metro, I talked to him because he was from Evergreen Park, and he also was like the guy for Frankie Knuckles. He's passed away, but he says, like, without Disco Demolition, there wouldn't have been house. And house is a great musical export for Chicago. So I really want to make that point. So Steve let me do that.
When you think of Steve Dahl, you think the father of house music.
Yeah, that's what he says. He says how he invented house music.
Yeah.
But, he did not meddle at all. He gave me free rein. You know? I picked all the interviews and
phenomenal
stuff.
Phenomenal photography in the book.
Yeah.
And tell people the Roger Bossert story.
Roger Bassett, everybody, you know, what, 37 years ago, everybody looked at...
The godfather of grass.
Yeah, the sod father. Yeah. He's still there, takes care of the grass at the cell. And everybody kind of, 37 years ago, everybody kind of looks at with a smile and just... But not him. He was like really, really, you know... This is not fun to talk about. I went down to visit him, and you know, he goes, you think it's, you know, how would you like it if somebody came into your house and turned over all your furniture and stuff like that? It was a very personal assault. Yeah, it was a personal assault. And it's artwork what he does. It's a craft, you know, and his field was destroyed.
And Sam,
you know, there's stories about like people like marijuana growing the next couple of weeks and stuff. I never heard that. He didn't confirm that, but
people were growing weed, people were dropping little seeds. Oh, because seeds were out in the field.
Yeah, right.
Roger would have found them.
Yeah.
How long was it before Dahl went back to White Sox games?
You know, I don't think he was allowed. And then he was a Cub fan for...
Was he?
I didn't know because I know his kids, when they were little, they have all these Cub pictures. But then he went back to the Sox because I think the Cubs, something didn't go right there either. Not a promotion, so he got upset, and then he's back at the White Sox.
I go to a couple Sox games a year, though, and they play Macho Man.
He was a season ticket holder at the White Sox, I keep saying
the Sox should embrace
Dave,
this thing.
Dave, that's healing. healing through the years.
This is cool, too, because you talk about all the clubs. Dirty Nellies and...
Yeah, that was important. I mean, it's really... I mean, you know, Cheap Trick, 1979 was a breakout year for them. I tried to talk about what rock and roll was like around here.
We had Dennis Young in there, a buddy.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Bengals played at Haymakers.
Yeah.
The book is called Disco Demolition, The Night Disco Died. Out and available everywhere?
Yeah, it's on Amazon starting next month. It's number one in photojournalism in Amazon already.
Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. Congratulations to you and Adol.
Thank you.
All right. It's 9:54. Back after this on 720 WGN.